Let's turn over to the book of Romans in the 10th chapter. There's a lot of things that I'd like to say. I guess you probably know that. I mention different things from time to time, and there's just so many things that I'd like to say as pertaining to the coming of the Lord, because the coming of the Lord is at hand, and I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Chapter 10 in the book of Romans, beginning at the first verse, the last verse of the 9th chapter, we'll read it first. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Chapter 10, the first verse, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know first? Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, by the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. but rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, worth grafting in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. O, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Paul, I love to talk about Paul and Paul's writings, because he was such a deep thinker. And Paul had the deep mysteries of God. The deep mysteries of God. In this particular chapter, he is telling the Jews that the law is at an end. As to righteousness, law is at an end. For now is the righteousness of Christ Jesus, by faith and by the words of our confession. I like to think of that. For he is the high priest of our confession. I had a night vision last night, and of course we're always having visions. I was having some kind of a dream from God, or a night vision. Daniel said, I dreamed and the vision of my head troubled me. We're always having these, and sometimes when we're not asleep, we just be sitting around and God will give us a vision. Or sometimes we might fall into a trance and see things, as Peter did when he was on the housetop. The Bible said he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Well, anyway, last night we were having a vision, a night vision of some kind. And in the vision, I was a prophet. I'm sure that you've had such visions. And I've had a number of visions where in the vision, I was a prophet. And I would be carrying on the work of God. And I would be doing the things that God had for me to do. Last night, in this particular vision, the power of God had a hold of me. And it seemed to be his purpose as to make me be moved by his Spirit and only by his Spirit. So I would find myself seized by a power that I didn't have any control over, and I wouldn't be wanting to do any certain thing, but this power would motivate me. Like, I remember it took and was putting me down on my face like that, and it would move me. And this was what the Lord apparently was trying to do in the vision, was subject me to the movements and motions of God. That, as Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I live with the Son of God. And so then I was motivated and moved by the Spirit of God, and it appeared that that was his pleasure, that I do nothing at all except as he moved me. And of course, I'd like to do that anyway, but a lot of times we don't do that. We get carried away in our own ambition and with our own things, and we don't do what God would have us to do. But I want to do exactly what God would have me to do. And when I look and see the end of the world as to Mr. Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, as to their discussions and all of these things that they're doing, it makes me want to be ready. We sang that song, I Want to Be Ready. I want to be ready to meet him. And that song, Will You Be Ready When the Bridegroom Comes? And I see these things and I realize that Christ is the high priest of my confession. That the only way I can have salvation is through a confession as to whatever he hath wrought for me in God. And if I can confess what he hath wrought for me in God, then that means that I am partakers of it. If he hath wrought for me salvation, and then I confess salvation, then am I partakers of salvation. If he hath wrought for me in God divine deliverance to my healing, and I can confess my healing, then am I partakers of that healing. That is to say, he is the high priest of my confession. For if I can believe in my heart, then with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness which is by the works of Christ Jesus. Or he believeth unto the righteousness of God. And if I can believe in my heart, then my heart draws nigh to God by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, in that I believe in what Christ has done for me. In that he has spilled his blood for me, in that he has suffered for me, and done all these things, I believe my way unto righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And then confession from the heart with the mouth is made unto salvation. So then I confess God with my mouth. I confess. I believe in my heart, and then I make a confession of it, and Christ Jesus, being the high priest of my confession of faith, he puts that down in the Lamb's Book of Life in my behalf, and whatever I can believe in my heart and whatever I confess with my mouth, then I am partakers of it. I know a lot of times people get misconstrued to the extent they say, well, Brother Pike, I've called on the name of the Lord. The Bible said you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. I've called on the name of the Lord. And then they'll say, and the Bible said, if you believe in your heart, I believe. I believe. And then they'll say, and I've confessed the Lord with my mouth. And they'll say, that's all there is to it, I'm saved. But see, that is not all there is to it. It's so closed it would deceive the very elect if it was possible, because there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and it seemeth that he's doing the things that God told him to do, and it seems that he's obeying the Scriptures, but in all reality he is not obeying the Scriptures at all. I tell you again, you can be a believer and still go to hell. You can believe and still go to hell. You can believe and still be turned into the lake of fire. For the Bible says, if you believe this one God, you do well. The devil believes also and trembles. So believing is not altogether enough. So then faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. So then the dead believing is not the faith of Jesus Christ. For the faith of Jesus Christ hath works that substantiates that faith, which is the faith not of you, but the justifying and the sanctifying faith
of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks like this: Paul, being a Jew, numbered himself with the Jews. And he said, we were kept under tutors. We were kept under tutors until the time appointed of the Father and until the faith should come. So then we are as those that are under the law, Paul said, and the law is as unto Calvary. And then when Calvary comes, the law is folded up, laid away. There's no righteousness by the law. And then comes the righteousness which is by faith, not of your faith or my faith, but by the faith of Christ Jesus. The Bible said the faith of Christ by which we are sanctified. Not my believing in God's righteousness, in that I failed to believe all down through the ages coming to the law. Men failed to believe. They couldn't believe God properly. They wavered. They were in and out and up and down. But then came the man Christ Jesus. The Bible said we're shut up under the law. For the law is a tutor to bring us under the faith. And we've been shut up under the law, Paul said, until the coming of Christ. And now the faith of the Son of God, which never wavered at one time during his entire lifetime. The faith of Jesus Christ, which not one time failed to believe in the promises of God, had been accepted in your behalf, in my behalf, as the perfect faith to bring us the liberties of the children of God and to bring us eternal life. So then the Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Shut up under the law, unto the faith which afterwards should appear. So then now that we have the faith of Jesus Christ by the blood, the shed blood of Himself. Now that we have the grace of God, we're eligible for this faith. But to have this faith, you must have your faith to be able to believe unto this faith. For this faith of Christ is righteousness. But you must have the faith, you must have your faith to believe unto this faith, to be partakers of that faith. I must contend with my believing and my effort, with my works, with my faith, to be able to take hold on that faith of Jesus Christ, which justifies and sanctifies me in the light of the heavenly gifts from God. So then we see that Paul is bringing a new thing here. He said, by the law of Moses you had righteousness. Now we've got the faith of Jesus Christ, the prophet like unto Moses. Having a new covenant, having a new way of life, he said, if there's a change of the priesthood, it is unto the ministry. For if there be a change of the law, there must of necessity be a change of the priesthood, from the priesthood to the preacher. So then we're preachers of righteousness. How can they hear, he said, unless they have a preacher? How can he preach unless God has sent him? And so then we see the marvelous blessings of God, even Christ, the high priest, of my confession. Whatever I confess as to what the Bible says I am entitled to, then it is already substantiated by the works of Jesus and by the faith of Jesus in the Heavenly Father. All I've got to do is do the things that please God, and this assures my heart. The Bible said, when I do the things that please God, hereby I assure my heart, and then doth my heart have confidence toward God, which John called faith. So then there is a faith. This faith, one of these faiths as I speak of it, this faith must have works. And that is your faith, and that is my faith. For the writer said, faith without works is dead. Your faith must have works. And then Paul speaks of the sanctifying faith of the Lord Jesus. And he said, and this faith needs no works. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God. I'm the works of God. What I did pleased God. I did the works. You believe on me, that's all you've got to do. See, he said, and faith without works is dead. Speaking of your faith. For it takes your efforts behind your believing to stimulate your believing to be able to lay hold on the faith by which we're sanctified. Even the faith which is by Christ Jesus. unto the law, shut up unto this faith, or the coming of this great, mighty believing of our Savior. So then, Paul says in his teaching, he says, and therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without works. And it's real confusing. You know, if you don't understand, the Bible said they wrest Paul's teachings to their own destruction because they don't understand them. And so then he said, and this faith of Christ Jesus, he could have said, it doesn't require any works. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. See, this faith doesn't require any works. What must we do to work the works of God? He said, this faith doesn't require any works. All of the works are finished as pertaining to the faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, Paul said, I conclude that you are justified by faith without works. He said to the Jews, he said, all of your efforts of fasting and praying and believing is as nothing. He said, because God doesn't consider it anymore. All of that is the works of the law. Therefore, all you've got to do is believe unto righteousness with your heart. And God purifies your heart by faith. Therefore, to believe unto righteousness, because the righteousness of God is already finished. For the righteousness of God speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the deep to bring Christ up. He said, for Christ has already come down from heaven, and Christ has already come up from the deep. And he said, now the word is nigh you, even the confession of your faith. For Christ is the high priest of your confession. For he is at the right hand of the Father, sitting in the heavenly places. And whatever you confess, then you can have. So then he said, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might receive help in the time of need. So we see that it needs no works. I don't do any kind of works. I don't try to be holy and godly and pure and righteous and all of the things that people do out in the religious world through their ritualistics or what Pentecostal people do as calling it Christianity. I don't have to do that. I don't try to do that because that's foolishness. To believe that I can work my way unto righteousness is foolishness. To believe that I can pray my way unto righteousness is foolishness. To believe that I can fast my way unto righteousness is foolishness. I can only believe my way unto righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For the Bible said, if you fast, if you eat, you're no better to God. If you don't eat, you're no better to God. If you pray, you're no better to God. If you don't pray, you're no better to God. He reproved them over there for their fasting, their praying, and all of these other things of trying to get righteous or to find righteousness in the sight of God. He said, away with your solemn assemblies. And they said, wherefore have we fasted, and thou takest no knowledge? Why is it that our fasting doesn't make us holy? He said, away with your fasting. You disfigure your face. You fast to be seen of mankind. He said, your prayers are not prayers to make your voice to be heard on high. He said, is this the fast that I've chosen, that a man should bow down his head like a bulrush, spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? He said, is not this my pleasure, that you should feed the hungry, that you should clothe the naked, you should help the widows, you should love your fellow man, you should do something as to help others, as to show God, in that God so loved you, he gave, and he gave the best. Shouldn't you so love that you give? Is it my pleasure that you bow down like a bulrush and get in sackcloth and ashes? He said, what good is that to me? What good is that to me? If I fast, if I starve myself, if I do without food, what good is that to God? God is a spirit. If I pray and pray and pray, what good is that to God? God is a spirit. So then I must believe my way unto righteousness. There's no way that I can work my way unto righteousness. Paul said, the law is folded up and laid away, and all of the requirements of God as to work, to lay down the symbols of the types and shadow of that great thing that is to come is over now. Paul said those things under the law could never make the coming thereunto perfect. Even the blood of bulls and goats could never make the coming thereunto perfect. He said, now it is an hour of revelation. And pray that God will grant unto your hearts and unto your spirits the spirit of revelation, that you might be able with all saints to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful salvation. So then the preacher says to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can say, so I called on the Lord and now I'm saved. I believed and now I'm saved. But see, it's not that easy. It's not that easy at all. For the Bible said, with their lips they confess me, but their hearts are far from me. Somebody would say, well, I confess the Lord. Brother Pike, I confess that I love God. That makes me a lover of God. That makes God my heavenly Father. No, what it was, you confessed that you love God. That's true. And you would say, well, Brother Pike, the Bible said, what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. I confess that I love the Lord, it come from my heart. I say again, that's true. You made your confession, that's true. It came from your heart, that's true. But the difference is you confessed a lie. You said you loved him when you didn't love him. See, that was your confession. You confessed a lie because the Bible said, with their lips they confess me, but their heart is far from me. That is, you confessed a lie because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. Another man might confess that he loves God from his lips and it comes from his heart, and he confessed the truth. He said, I love Jesus, and he does love Jesus. So see, it can be so close that would deceive the very elect. Impossible. You can go through the same things that a believer goes through with, and it'd be nothing but ritualistics. Whereas you can go through these things according to the Bible and out of the conviction of your heart, it can bring you salvation. So then Christ is the high priest of my confession. Whatever I confess, then God gives it to me. I confess what he has done for me, and God makes it alive in my heart. And it becomes part of my life, and I'm happy because I have salvation, I have healing, I have deliverance, I have the power of God, I have the rest and the peace that passeth all understanding. I have these things. Someone would say, well, Brother Pine, you mean you're not tempted, you don't have sickness, you don't have problems? I have all of those things. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Bible also says that God delivereth him out of them all. So then, he is the high priest of my confession. I confess it, and because I confess it, then God makes it to be so. I confess it, and God makes it to be so. If I can believe in my heart unto a promise, and if I can confess with my lips that promise, then it becomes mine, and I'm partakers of it. And you can do the same thing. It's for you, it's for us. But this faith is without works. It does not require any work. It is the faith by which I am sanctified. And the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Or that is, he hath made them perfect forever. He hath sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And then he hath perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified. So then we are the sanctified. For by his Spirit he hath sanctified us. See, we are believers not just to believe and not have God's Spirit. For the Bible said, if you have not God's Spirit, you're not of his. Not to just believe as the devil does and not have the Spirit of God, but to believe unto righteousness, and then we obtain the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and then we are God's. You know, somebody would say, well, I'm born, Brother Pike. I'm born. I come into this world. I'm born. No doubt. No doubt. That's true. You might have had an experience. You might have got born. But the only thing is, it was a stillbirth. You don't have the Spirit. You're dead. See, but you've got to be born into the world, and you've got to be alive. You've got to have his Spirit. The Bible speaks of coming into this thing, being made partakers of the Holy Ghost, as to the blessings of the Holy Ghost, as to feeling it, in that the rain is on the just and the unjust, and God pours out of his Spirit upon all flesh. So then, you feel the presence of God. But you're not alive. You don't have the Spirit of God. And the Bible speaks of coming
unto a place to where you're partakers with these things. You partake, you taste of these heavenly things, and then you fall away. And the Bible teaches that you're dead and there's no more hope for you. This little theory, there's a church or two that's got a little theory, once saved, always saved. Now, it is true that once saved, you're always saved. But let's look at it for just a minute and see if what they say is true. The Bible said God, having saved the people out of Egypt, was then displeased with some of them because they looked back into Egypt and they turned back into Egypt and their hearts, and God cut them off, let the earth swallow them up, and swear in his wrath that they would never enter into his rest. It said after he had saved them. So then you've got to understand what he means as to salvation. The Bible said, as to this salvation, he that endureth to the end the same shall be saved. So then as to salvation, if you are the elect of God, if you're one of those with the foreknowledge of God, then you would be saved. Somebody would say, well, I know, Brother Pike, I'm predestinated, I'm saved. You can be predestinated and not be saved. The Bible speaks of them that were preordained unto condemnation, ungodly men that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. You must be predestinated in Christ. For if you are predestinated in Christ, then you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You're members of his body in particular. And if you are his body, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means you do exactly what your heavenly Father did. If you've got the nature of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, if you're the bone and flesh of Christ, then you do the same thing today that he did. You walk upright, you talk right, you think right, you live holy, you're godly. The Bible said he was proven to be the Son of God by power, by the Spirit of holiness. So then if you do what your heavenly Father did, if you do the same things that Jesus did, then are ye of God. So then I am predestinated in Christ unto good works and unto righteousness. And if these things shall forth in me, then am I eternal. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure by doing these things. For they that do these things that he enumerated shall never fall. So then he enumerated all the things of righteousness and godliness and virtue and all these things. See, so if we do those things, then we know that we've been predestinated in God unto righteousness, and in Jesus Christ, so are we eternal as to everlasting life. Well, when we look at it, we see again that he is the high priest of our confession. We confess, we believe with our heart unto righteousness, and confession is made with the lips unto salvation. So then he is the high priest of our confession. But we must remember again that his faith needs no works. It is called the faith of Jesus Christ by which we're sanctified. So Paul said, I therefore conclude that we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without the works of the law. I conclude that we are justified by faith without works. He said, because if it is of works, he said, then I could boast and say, I wrought my own salvation. What do I need with God's works? He said, if it's by works, then faith is made void. He said, but if it be by faith, then it's not by works. And said, if you say then it is works, though you've said it's by believing, now you say it's by works, he said, then faith is no more faith. How can it be works and still be faith? If it is works, then faith is no more faith. That is, you can't apply the word faith, because faith doesn't mean faith if you have to put works with it. When he says you're justified by faith without works, then you're justified by faith without works. It doesn't take any works, so faith is faith. All right, so then we look at the other faith that the writer spoke of. The writer said, in faith without works is dead. What kind of faith is that? It is not the faith by which you're sanctified. It is not the faith of Jesus Christ, for the Bible said, God hath dealt unto every man the measure of faith. See, it is the faith of a human being. It is your believing. And your faith is dead without works. His faith is not dead without works because he's already wrought the works that he needed to substantiate his faith. And his faith has been available unto you to make you holy. But my faith, your faith, must have works.
And this is where man gets mixed up in his religious walk, and that's why there's so many different denominations of today and different branches of religion, because men are ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. But they're ignorant because they've tried to go to college and understand the Bible. They've tried to study to understand it, fast to understand it, all these kind of things. When the Bible said the knowledge of God is higher above your knowledge than the heavens of the earth, and the Bible said this knowledge you cannot not obtain unto. You can study, you can pray, you can read, you can go to college, do anything you want to, but you can't obtain unto it. For the Bible said it is revealed unto you. It is revealed unto you. As unto babes, such as are willing to learn. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. And so then you must have the spirit of revelation. Let God pour it out upon you and let God reveal it to you, because there's no way that you can obtain unto it yourself. So then we think about these things, and we think about the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, wrought by the works of Jesus Christ. And then we think of our believing. And we have to live holy and godly and pure and unadulterated with all of our strength of effort toward God, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, that we might meditate in His laws day and night, that it might not be us that live, but Christ that liveth within us. The life we're now living, living by the life of the Son of God, in that I was lost because of sin. So then you say, Brother Pike, you mean you're going to live holy? You're going to walk holy? You're going to talk holy? Everything that I could live, everything I could talk, everything I could do could never be more than a filthy rag. But because I'm doing it in Jesus Christ, because I'm doing it as unto God, because I'm doing it on the strength of the faith of the Son of God, and I'm doing it at the request of God and doing it in honor of God's Word, then God's Spirit purifies my heart. God makes up the chain as to the missing link when I stumble and stagger, and all of my works are holy and all of my works are perfect, and all that I do is precious in the sight of God, because I have done it as unto God, and God has anointed it and God has blessed it. So this means that we have a holiness, we have a godliness, we have a righteousness in Him. It means that we obtain this holiness, this righteousness, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, by doing all that we can and bringing the works with our faith that we need to cause our faith to be stimulated as to doing the things that please God. Hereby we assure our heart, then our heart has confidence toward God and His righteousness, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Then are we happy. Then are we holy, and then are we godly. But you can't do it by works. I tell you again, the two men that went up into the temple, one said, I thank my God I'm not like the publican. I fast. I pay tithes of all I have. I do all of these things. And the Bible said God wouldn't accept it. And then the other man that was without any thing at all to offer God said, oh God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And from his heart he called on God, and the Bible said he went down to his house justified rather than the other man. He said, for I say unto you that unless your righteousness shall exceed that of the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. See, you are translated into the kingdom of God by believing. Enoch was translated by faith. So then the man that said, I fast, that didn't translate him. The man that said, I pay tithes, that didn't translate him. Because God is a spirit, and it is a translation of your angelic inner man into God's spirit as becoming one with God. As I said, we say, as we put the safeguard into the garment, the safeguard into the fabric, that the stains might not penetrate. So God's Spirit is the safeguard, goes into my spirit, becomes interwoven, and everything that could defile me to bring death is sealed out from my inner man. And the outer man is dead and buried in the lovely name of Jesus in a watery grave, and it's not me living, but the resurrected Christ Jesus. That is to say, I have come forth in the newness of life. I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. God does not see my fleshly man anymore. He's dead and he's buried, and God has preserved my inner man. by the safeguard and move my inner man out of this body. For at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And the Bible said, the record here says to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus. And Paul said, I'm dead to the world and the world is dead to me by the body of the Lord Jesus. So my body is dead and my body's buried. My angel went back to God who gave it. He said, you're not in this world. I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. So then my angel went to be with God, and he said, rejoice ye that are in heaven. And my body is hid from God. He does not see the sins of my body. It's dead. It's buried. I am now his body and bone. He looks over this great valley from the time I buried in the water, died of Calvary, until the time that I come forth over here in the resurrection, or until the change of the Thessalonian change where I take on his flesh and take on his body. And he sees me in the future. He sees me all down through the years as his own body. By foreknowledge, he sees my end as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not to know any man after the flesh. I don't know you after the flesh as to your mistakes and shortcomings. And you don't know me after the flesh as to my mistakes and shortcomings. You know me after the righteousness of God as to my spiritual man that is partakers of the benefit of Calvary. And you know the people in the world not after their fleshly activities as degrees and celebrities and being dignitaries, but you know them after their spirit as the spirit of the devil, which are not born again and don't care for God, that have the love of the world within them. And the Bible says, if the love of the world is there, the love of the Father isn't in you. I have to work. I have to assure my heart, or my heart won't believe. I have to persuade my heart. By doing the things that please God, then I come to believe that I'm going to be all right. That is to say, I live with my neighbor. I don't kill his cat. I don't kill his dog. I don't kill his chicken. I don't abuse his children. I don't lust after his wife. I don't bother with my neighbor. And any time I can help him, I'll help him. I'll do anything good for him. And then I develop a confidence that my neighbor feels real good toward him. But if I kill his cat and I kill his dog and I do all kinds of mean things to him, I'm going to be void and absent of the confidence that my neighbor is going to think anything as to good toward me. So I do the things that please God, and I begin to think in the right direction. When you go contrary to God, God goes contrary to you. He said, walk contrary to me, I'll walk contrary to you. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. He said, resist me, and I'll resist you. So then we can see by this that God is telling us that we have a high priest that was tempted in every way that we're tempted, and yet without sin. And God is telling us that we have a high priest that can feel the feelings of our infirmity. I wish we had time to elaborate on that tonight, but we don't. To feel the feelings of our infirmity, Jesus, even the Christ. He can feel the feelings of our infirmity. He is the high priest of our confession. If we're willing to believe in his word as to healing and confess it with our lips, then we have it. But we have to confess it without wavering. We have to confess it in sincere conviction of heart. Because the confession of the lips without sincere conviction of the heart as to God's promise, if we fail to have sincere conviction, it doth not work in our life even to healing or to salvation. But if we confess it with our lips as to a strong conviction of faith from our heart in the Word of God, then it brings us healing and prosperity and salvation and all of these things, because the Word said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So we can see that all of these things belong to us and that God wants us to have all these things. But it is necessitated to our way of living and our lifestyle before God that we believe with all of our heart. Believe with all of our heart. I'm going to say this and then close. There's a lot of things I'd like to say to you, but just a few little things by way of exaltation tonight, because we had quite a bit of singing. Believing, the Bible said in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. I'm going to say this to you again. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God has given, to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. All of this would happen in the latter times. Now, I promised that on Sunday morning, if God would help me, we'd speak concerning the nuclear things as to what really has taken place in the signing of this treaty and where it leads to, and prove it by the Bible as to what is the final analysis of it. But right now, let me say this to you. In the last days, men shall depart from faith. I'm going to say this again. It did not say that men would depart from believing. Where it said they would have doctrines of devils, they would believe in all kinds of things. But they would be heretics. And he said, after you admonish them once or twice, after the first, second admonition, reject them. So here we find that believing then, mere believing, is not faith. Many people believe and are going to hell. So then mere believing is not faith. It did not say that they would depart from believing. But it said they would depart from the Word. And you say, why the Word, Brother Pike? Because faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. This is the Word. The hearing of the Word, this is the only thing. Faith by the hearing of the Word. To believe is nothing before God. To believe in anything that you want to believe in is nothing. But to believe in the Word of God is faith. And to believe in the Word of God brings salvation. For to believe in the Word of God, this Word is spirit and life. You turn it into spirit, it comes into your heart, it gives you life. This Word, to believe in this Word, in the beginning was the Word is God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh. And the Word is the same to 1,000 generations, today, yesterday, forever. And the Word, the Bible said, He sent His Word and He healed them. By His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. By His Word, He created all things. So God, who is the spiritual being that made Himself a voice, or the Word, or manifested Himself in the form of flesh, this Word, as to faith and confidence in it, it brings all things to pass, for all things are possible to them that believe. So then in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They will depart from the Word, and they'll have their own ideas, and they'll come up with their modern versions of the Bible. And I say this to you again, remember this, all of these modern Bibles, I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord, are of the devil. Oh, Brother Pike, I said, they are of the devil. I've searched them out, I've checked them, and they are of the devil. You can call them the Amplified or whatever you want to, and many of the Amplified versions does have some good things in them, in that some men have expressed their views and expressed how they feel about the Scripture and what the Scripture means, and that's good, as some of it is good, and some of it is altogether foolishness. And you need to stay away from it. The King James Version is the proven, authentic way of life with God. It's been proven down through the years. And the other night when I preached on the absolute in the earth, I went back to the Old Testament. I took the prophecies of the Old Testament. I showed it to you in the New Testament hundreds of years later, where it fell right to the line according to what the prophets had said, proving that this is very God. And this is God's book, and this is God's absolute in the earth, and there is nothing else that is an absolute, an orator, a professor, a preacher, some kind of religion, denomination, or Brother Pike, or anybody else. It's God's eternal Word. That's the only thing that can bring faith. And the devil is cunningly and shrewdly working a little gimmick, because the people have not a love for the truth. God is allowing these modern versions to come in to turn the people over to a lie and let them believe a lie and be damned, because they wouldn't conform and live according to this Word. For faith is by the hearing of the Word. As the minister ministers, it's not him that speaketh, but God. And the proof of your faith in this Word is to obey this Word. For the writer said, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. when Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that was the fulfillment of Matthew 28, of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I say again, these apostles went straight over there and did the very thing that God commanded them by baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the Word of God. When you honor that, then you believe. That's faith. You're saved. And when you don't do that, you are an unbeliever and you are not saved. And all of your confession and religious activities go out the window, as we say, and it ain't worth the time it takes for you to say it. So then, to do what the Word says to do is to believe in God. And to honor God and to dishonor God is not to accept God's Word and not to believe in God's Word and not to act on God's Word, and you have no salvation. You may feel the presence of God and you may go to church and you may be religious and you may do all those things, but feeling the Spirit of God does not mean that you have the Spirit of God. The rain is upon you. And the Bible said, because of grace, the rain is poured out upon the just and the unjust. So the unjust feels the blessings of God in their religious churches and activities just as much as you do. But that does not mean that they are children of God. They are partakers of the outpouring of that Spirit, and they taste of the good Word of God and the good things of God as to His grace and mercy, but they're going to hell. And the Bible teaches that there's only one thing that they can look forward to. That's the wrath of God, as to God being their adversary as a consuming fire, devouring them that have failed to do the things He commanded. So then it means that we've got to do what we're told to do. Peter commanded them, and they did it, and thus they became believers and part of the church. When you do what the minister has told you, if he tells you from the Word, then you've got to do it. And this is the only absolute. You can't find another one. There is no other one. There is no other one. And Paul says, as the Gospels, if somebody comes to you with another gospel, let him be accursed. Even if it be an angel, don't pay any attention to him, because he has to be a fallen angel. Let him be accursed. I was down in Belize a few days ago, sitting in a cafe there. The professor of the college came by. He and I was talking, having some good fellowship, he and a friend of his. He said, what are you doing in Belize? I said, I'm here as a minister. I'm preaching the gospel. He said, which one? I thought, which one? Well, there ain't but one. But there is a lot of gospels, you know. Paul said, if it come with another gospel, it might be some kind of gospel of a man. It might be some kind of a gospel of whatever. Like, there's a lot of Bibles. I said the other night, they got a Bible called the Vitamin Bible. See, Bible collection of books. But it's to the Word of God, the actual Word of God. I said, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of the Word of the Lord. He said, oh, and he understood. See, so saying that you belong to a church don't mean nothing. But being a Christian, really genuinely being Christ-like, folks, that means something. Because you can't be Christ-like unless you've got His Spirit on the inside of you. You can't do it. Let me say this in close. See, you look around in here, you see some zircons. Chandeliers, they don't make chandeliers out of diamonds. Too expensive. That really takes some money to do that. That's a rare thing that you'd have to have made. But they do make them out of zircons. And zircons is so closed. Even they are tremendously expensive. Ordinarily, they'll be out of glass. But the zircon is like a diamond. It will sparkle. It will give off all the radiance of the rainbow because of the cuts, not because it is within the glass, but it is the cuts and the reflections as to which way it turns. And it is so closed, if you wasn't a diamond expert, you'd think, sure, that you had a diamond if you had one. See, but it would be only a zircon. But now, a diamond, you have to cut it to bring the flashes and the glory of the diamond out as to the colors of the rainbow. But the fire is within the diamond. See, a person might look like a Christian. They might sparkle because as to reflecting the sunlight, see, their radiance might show, as to saying a person might reflect the Word of God, the rain upon them, the grace of God upon them, the sunlight of God over them, the Shekinah covering Adam and Eve, illuminated by that. But see, that doesn't mean that you're born of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you have the fire of God on the inside of you. A diamond has fire on the inside of it. A child of God has God, the consuming fire, on the inside of it. He's a jewel, like the stars are going to fall from heaven. Why? Because they're reflectors. How is it that the old dragon can curl a tail around the third part of the stars and cast them down? It's because they are not living stars. They have no fire. They're just nickel and rock. They hold no post of duty. They're wandering stars. And these stars are reflectors. The nickel, the bright, shiny nickel, it reflects the light. And it looks just like the star. One of these days, they're going to be cast out. So it is in the church, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Wandering stars. All right, let's stand together. This is one of them nights when my wife fixed me some old-fashioned strict lean meat. It seems like that when they turn the box of salt up, they don't stop till it's all gone. You can wash it and wash it and wash it. But you know, it reminds me of what a great man of God said one time. Said, be salty and the people will get thirsty. And when I'm salty, I really get thirsty. So when you are salty, and that the Bible teaches that the children of God, the real Christian, they're the salt of the earth. And if you're really salty, that is, if you're really filled with the power of preservation, or you're filled with the glory of God, people are going to get hungry. And they're going to begin to follow you. And if you're a real, genuine jewel, as the Bible said, when I come to make up my jewels, I'll spare you as a man spareth his son, in that you spake often of me, and your conversation was in all about the world, and gossiping, and backbiting, and the things of this life. But it was a spiritual mind, even the mind of Christ. He said, I'll remember you when I make up my jewels. Real, genuine jewels, filled with the glory and radiance of the covenant of God, even that rainbow that Noah spoke of, or that they spoke of as to Noah's day, that covenant of the radiance of the glory of God from within you, a real jewel. Let's sing a song together. Appreciate talking with you tonight, and I always appreciate talking with you. I come here night after night to encourage you, to talk with you, to explain to you, to try to tell you the right way, so that you're not blown about by every wind of doctrine, and that from around the world, as all of these ideologies of mankind come, that they won't phase you. That when all of these things come from every walk of life and every philosophy and every denominational walk of life, when these things come, it won't move you. You'll say, look, I love you, I'd like to help you, but there's no need for you to talk to me like that. I understand and you don't. Somebody say yes. And they'll think that you are know-all. Well, John said, we know that we're right. We know that they're wrong because we know that we're right. And if you don't know that you're right, it's for sure you don't know that they're wrong. But if you know that you pass from death unto life, if you know that, if you know that you're right, then you know that they're wrong. Because even when they talk to you, and they'll try to convince you of what they believe, down deep in their heart, they're not convinced themselves. See, but beloved friend, when you hear the truth and know the truth will make you free. And you'll never wonder again. And the beautiful part of it is when you call on them, they cannot explain their conviction and make it harmonious with the Bible. Every time they say something, they'll cross it up. They'll get a few things to run in harmony with it, but it won't go line upon line. But what you believe, you can take the scripture and lay it to the line, right down the line to every jot and every tittle, and it'll line up because you are born of the Word. All right, let's sing a song, Cameron. Once again, let's sing the little chorus, I love Him, can we? I love Him. Can you sing it with me? I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation.
salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sing it again.
I love Him. I love Him. Oh, because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word Divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine.
You love the Lord? Let's give Him a hand. Let's sing this chorus together, can we? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Sing it with me.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. And when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown, wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when the battle is over, I'll wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Can you sing it with me?
We'll wear a crown, wear a crown. will wear the bright and shiny crown. For when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Let's sing this. Room at the cross for you. As we sing this, the altars is open and you're welcome to come. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. So at the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy. Can you sing it again with me? At the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Can you sing this one with me? Let's sing this song. I love him. Let's sing that. Sing that song again, and then sing the song, "Are You Ready for the Bridegroom to Come?" Let's sing this. I love him. I love him. I love him. All because, do you really love the Lord? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. I want that to just kind of ring over in your hearts and minds. Do you really love him? All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be ruled in spotless white. Are you ready for the bride? Can you raise it up just a little? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be ruled in spotless white. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Sing it again. Are you ready? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Far be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Sing it again. I am ready for the bridegroom to come. I am ready for the bridegroom to come. Far be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white, for I'm ready for the bride. One more time. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. I don't want no gold or silver. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. Sing it with me. He's everything. And we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. Sing it again. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. Everything. Let's sing this little chorus. We will enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, and we'll enter his courts with praise, and we'll say, this is that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter his courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. For he hath made us glad, he hath made us glad, made us glad. He hath made us glad, he hath made us glad, and I'm gonna rejoice, Jesus, one more time. God's gates with thanksgiving in thy heart. Let us enter God's courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. For Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice, 'cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. You love the Lord? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand upon the and the land, and time shall be. Can you sing it with me again? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time, in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son that was made of a woman made under the law to redeem them that was under the law, and sending Paul the apostle as to preach this wonderful light that should shine under all of the heaven, he said, and now Christ Jesus is the end of the law for all of them that believe on him. As to the law, it is as an end, he said, as pertaining to righteousness. For there is no more righteousness by the law. When people try to teach you to keep the Ten Commandments that you might go to heaven, you know that they are a heretic, and after the first and second admonition, reject them. So then, today, Christ Jesus is the end of the law for everyone that wants righteousness. And that righteousness is by faith in that He is the high priest of our confession. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you can be saved. Can we sing another chorus or two? Let's sing the chorus that we sing so often. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Can we sing that? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it with me. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley, and he's the bright and morning star, and he is the first of 10,000. Everybody sing it one more time.
Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of the valley, and he's the bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. You should tell, I should tell, everybody should tell. You know, to their utter amazement, they had to go and they signed the treaty. Said Mr. Gobeshaw said, "May God bless us. May God bless us." You know, that's a good thought. May God bless us. May God bless us. We need His blessings. And folks, it's such a wonderful hour, such a thrilling moment, and the experience of being a Christian and having the opportunity to be in the land of the living, to do something for Almighty God. It is so thrilling. It's so unsurpassed by anything else. The one unprecedented thing in the world is that one thing. To be able to offer your services unto God is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. And yet we so carelessly and negligently go on, busy with the materialistic things of life that are going to perish. All that is vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Solomon said, "Fear God and keep His commandments." This is the whole duty of mankind. But we go after the frivolous things of the world when we have the great golden opportunity of service to the King. Folks, we need to do something for God. If you've not done anything for God, then let me encourage you to do something for God. Tomorrow, even before tomorrow, even tonight, get down on your knees and talk to God. Tomorrow when you awake with a strong vision to go somewhere, to do something for God, and let every hour of the day be filled with divine meditation and an enthusiasm with joy and jubilance in your heart to serve a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. He's in my soul today. So then let's do these things. Let's meditate in His laws day and night. This is joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. And if you don't get yourself in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world and all bridled down and harnessed down with the frivolous things of life, that is, Paul said, to get in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world that's going to perish. If you don't get yourself in bondage to all of these weights, then you can have joy. The Bible said, "Lay aside every weight that does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you." A writer said, "You did run well. What has hindered you? Lay aside the weights. Don't keep getting in debt for the beggarly elements of the world. Don't keep binding yourself up with these things that you're going to die and leave to somebody else. And who knows what you'll leave it to a fool," Solomon said. "Work all of your life for vanity, vanity." I remind you again, Jesus said, "Is not the body more than the raiment that you use it up to obtain or trying to obtain it?" Isn't your life more than the meat that you use your life up for trying to obtain it? Think, folks, your body means something. Your life means something. And the body is the Lord's. We should give our bodies, our lives, a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. If you labor, labor that you might have to give to God. If you're going to have a talent, give it. Do it all as unto the Lord. When you say something, speak as the orator of Christ. Do it for God. Let it not be you living, but Christ that's living within you. And let the life that you live be altogether the Son of God.
We sing that song, "Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face." And then we sing that song, "Let Thy will be done, Lord, let Thy will be done. Create within us Your Son. Your Son, create within us Your Son." The Father in the Son, or the Father in me as a Son. All right, while you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, I pray that you'll be conscientious. I trust that you'll talk to God, that you will fast for God and pray for God and live holy for God and deny yourself of the things of the world for God. The Bible says that they that belong to God have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts thereof. They've mortified the deeds of the body. He said, "Come out from the world, be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. For if the love of houses and lands and money, and of the world, of education, and all the prestiges of the world, if this kind of thinking is within you, the love of God isn't in there. You need the mind of that next world, as to the mind of Christ, which thought about the Heavenly Father and did all the things always that pleased the Heavenly Father, that meditated in the laws of God day and night, that cared not for the things of the world. As the early church that sold all, laid it down at the apostles' feet, followed after Christ, took up their cross and followed Him, denying themselves in this world that they might have a better life in the world to come. And the Bible speaks of it, even those that were tortured, even those that died. And even Fox's Book of Martyrs records that even in the dark age, Paul said these gave up this life to obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection. Give up this life to obtain a better resurrection. Even the resurrection unto eternal life and power and joy, splendor and magnificence, and the glories of the everlasting God. Men and women died for that cause. All right, if you're my disciple, he said, you'll hear my voice and you'll take up your cross and follow me. Equip yourselves with the mind to suffer as the self-denial, that you might do the will of the Heavenly Father. Let's just lift our hands up and close our eyes together. While we're standing here tonight with our eyes closed, searching and asking God to help us, let's be conscientious, folks, before it's too late. Let's don't wait till it's too late, because it's so easy to wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Now is the time. Now is your opportunity. All right, while we're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Atlee Beachy to come up here, if he will, and pray with us. While Atlee comes to pray with you tonight, let's think over the things that the preacher said. Whereas the Bible says, I say again unto you that it's not him speaking, but the Heavenly Father is speaking from within you. So tonight, let's remember that. Don't forget, your services are needed. Your efforts are needed. God wants you. He doesn't have to have you, but He wants you to sing His praise and to do something for Him. Don't give your life to the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the things of the flesh and the things of the world. And too late, when you lay down to die, start calling on God. A brother standing here, I believe he's standing here tonight, he came to me just recently. He was speaking of his dad, and I know for sure he's tried to talk to his dad numbers of times. His dad was a businessman. His dad was doing well. His dad was healthy. And his dad more or less made a joke out of it every time his son tried to talk to him about God. But all of a sudden, something has struck his dad, and now age has caught up with his dad. And he is in bad shape. And now he says, "Son, will you pray for me? Have the people to pray for me." See, it's no joke anymore. Because all that you have, friend, you're going to leave it. All of it. All of your labor. You're going to leave it. You're going to die and leave it. You might as well face it. You're going to get one thing out of life, and that's a hole in the ground. But there's one thing about it. If you serve God, you'll never die. You pass from death unto life, and you may be going by the way of sleep. But Christ will wake you after a while, as He did Lazarus. He said, "I go to awaken." And when He does, splendor, such splendor you've never seen before. And before then, even when your spirit departs this body at sleep, it goeth into paradise to the glories and magnificence of Almighty God to the eternal rest.